Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.
International Conference on Just and Feminist Energy Transition: Keys to an Energy System That Puts Life at the Center. Energy transition is one of the key ways to tackle climate change. The current energy system, based on fossil fuels such as oil, coal, and gas, is a major emitter of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide. These gases are responsible for global warming. But the problems of the current energy system lie not only in the type of energy and its technologies, but also in its logic and dynamics. Energy for what and for whom? These were the questions that resonated at the Conference on Just and Feminist Energy Transition, organized in Buenos Aires, capital of Argentina, by Tierra Nativa, Friends of the Earth Argentina, and Mille Defensie, Friends of the Earth Netherlands. The event was attended by women from Friends of the Earth International and allied organizations from all continents. Energy production, distribution, and consumption in the current system are geared towards the accumulation of wealth, not life. They are controlled by large corporations, mostly transnational corporations from the global north. Their profits and impacts are unfairly distributed. Their logics are colonial, patriarchal, and racist. They repeat, reproduce, and sustain a predatory capitalism that destroys nature, violates people's rights, dispossesses and displaces indigenous and black communities, doubly exploits women, and persecutes and murders activists. That is why a truly just energy transition requires more than simply replacing fossil fuels with renewable energies such as wind or solar energy. To be just, and therefore feminist, the transition must challenge the systems of oppression that underpin the current energy system so that they can be radically transformed rather than reproduced. The concept of just transition is in dispute. Today, the term has been co-opted by transnational corporations. It is not just about changing the technology. We are talking about a transition where people's rights come first, said Karin Nansen from Friends of the Earth Latin America and the Caribbean at the opening of the event. Women on the Front Lines. A series of presentations under the title The Challenges of Renewal Energy show the unfairness of the current system and the dangers of the unjust energy transition proposed by corporations. Diana Nabiruma from the Africa Institute for Energy Governance from Uganda, AFIEGO, said that more than 800 million people on her continent do not have access to energy for cooking. This affects women in particular, who have historically occupied the unrecognized and in the vast majority of cases unpaid roles of reproducing life. However, the continent is one of the largest producers of energy. The question then arises, for what and for whom is the energy intended? On this, Charity Megwe, environmental and climate activist from Kenya, said,
"And I think this model of exclusion of women's voices is also a part of the problem that led us to where we've been, because if you look at the fossil fuel industry, it's mostly like a boys club, and we need to rethink, like, you know, the different genders in the world and how they come together and how they contribute, because we own this space together. We need to recreate a solution for us all, not just for one particular gender. And that means also, like, our needs for energy as different genders. So we know, like, as women, mostly we consider them vulnerable in terms of, you know, the climate crisis, in terms of, you know, the energy use. Women in Africa who do not have access to clean cooking or clean energy use charcoal and firewood, and that means that they suffer respiratory diseases. There's indoor pollution, not only for women but also for kids, that leads to death. So we need to rethink our energy models, but also put women at the core of it, and, you know, uplift their voices, and give them a space to be able to contribute their unique perspectives, their unique backgrounds, to be able to address and solve the energy and the problems of, you know, climate change."
May Bolger from Friends of the Earth Europe gave a presentation on the green transition in Europe and warned about one of the many injustices that this false solution reproduces. The European Union is home to 6% of the world's population, but consumes 25 to 30% of the metals and minerals produced globally. Interviewed by Real World Radio, she explained,
"The energy transition needs to be feminist, because a transition from fossil fuels to renewables cannot repeat the same patriarchal system, thinking and actions that we currently see, which means domination and control over common natural resources, which means males and masculine power are valued and are dominate decision making. A feminist energy transition means that energy is first and foremost put towards uses that have reproduction, life and care at the centre, not uses like expanding militarization or expanding space exploration. It means that decision making is not anymore dominated by male or masculine thinking."
The highly coveted minerals for the transition. The conference had local participants, among them Evelyn Vallejos from Catamarca Province, Argentina. Vallejos is member of the Nuestra America movement, an organization of workers in favor of grassroots economy. In Catamarca, open-pit mega mining has been going on for 30 years, and the consequences of this model are deeply felt. Vallejos gave a clear example.
Basically, it seems that this energy transition is highly corporate, as companies, mainly automobile companies, want us to switch to individual electric cars. Because, for example, lithium is extracted from the Hombre Muerto salt flats to make lithium batteries for electric cars. The salt flats are one of the biggest natural absorbers of carbon dioxide. So we are destroying a natural source of mitigation to supposedly fight it. By destroying the salt flats, we are releasing a lot of carbon dioxide. Another cause of concern is water. One mining company alone uses 1.3 million liters of water per hour, fresh water, in a place like the Puna, Catamarca, where it doesn't rain. All that water comes from glaciers and fossil water. So the situation is very worrying, because we are trying to supply a market that has high energy demand, but for things that are often useless for life. Today, the truth is that I am fighting for energy for life so that we can all live with dignity. Corporations are not thinking about generating more energy to bring to the communities that don't have it or to poor neighborhoods that lack energy. They are thinking about an energy matrix that is highly focused on extractivism. To give you an idea, when the Alumbrera mine was operating in Catamarca, it used the same amount of energy as the entire population used. The mining company never left us anything, only pollution and social divide.
In this regard, Luisa Galbao from Friends of the Earth US mentioned something that perfectly illustrates what Vallejo said. The US estimates that by 2025, there will be so many electric vehicles in the country that they will consume three times the amount of lithium produced globally. How is it possible that the global production of lithium is not enough for one country? This kind of consumption is excessive and greedy. It doesn't seem a very fair equation. The question then becomes, for what and for whom is this energy produced? The triangle of Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile holds one of the largest lithium reserves in the world. Women from Jujuy, who are fighting for their territories and water sources, took part in the event. Jujuy is a province in northern Argentina that is rich in minerals and particularly lithium. In June, a provincial constitution reform was passed, weakening the rules for the exploitation of indigenous lands and restricting the right to protest. In opposition to this reform, the Tercer Malón de la Paz, an organized group of more than 400 communities and indigenous peoples, is camping outside the Supreme Court of Justice in Buenos Aires. A delegation from the conference visited the site in solidarity. Several people are currently on hunger strike, demanding that the reform be dropped. At the square, the women chanted,
"Sí, se muere Pachamama, con ella me muero yo. Si se muere Pachamama, con ella me muero yo. Sin agua y sin territorio, ¿dónde pongo el corazón? Sin agua y sin territorio, ¿y dónde pongo el corazón?
A just and feminist transition is possible. Every region and territory is different, so there is no one-size-fits-all approach for a just energy transition. Palestinian people suffer from energy shortages as a result of the Israeli occupation and colonialism, especially in the Gaza Strip and the Jordan Valley, which have been under siege for more than 16 years. The State of Israel uses energy as a form of control and a form of pressure for Palestinians to leave their land. Pengon, Friends of the Earth Palestine, is carrying out renewable energy projects. Coordinator Abir Budme told Real World Radio,
The energy projects that we have in Palestine, we focus on mainly on solar energy projects at household level, at community level, at school level. Most of the projects are at small-scale projects because there is no real Palestinian sovereignty on energy. That's why we live under threat of the Israeli occupation. That's why we cannot plan for a large-scale project in all areas. In Gaza Strip, we have different clean energy projects at household level that supply communities with energy to live as a normal life. Regarding the women role in these projects, we've targeted women in different activities in order to empower the role of women at different levels. For example, at institutional level, we've targeted women in the environmental organizations and also in the governmental organizations in order to take an active role in influencing the national policies and to raise the demands and the needs for the women in the grassroots communities. Also, we've targeted women at grassroots levels in order to empowering them and to enable them to advocate their rights and their needs and how to raise their needs at decision-making level. Also, we've targeted different women CBOs, whether in West Bank and Gaza, in order to increase their capacities in some technical capacities, how to operate and how to manage and maintain these solar units in order to be able to actually and to lead the energy transition, and in order to be able to operate the solar energy units. So our aim is to give the power for the poor communities who suffer from energy scarcity to put the power in their hand and to strengthen their role also at the grassroots level in the national dialogue and policies.
Tiara Davis is from Alaska and works with Native Movement as director of the Just Transition Department. She reflected on the feminist perspective of the energy transition.
And then we forget women of color. We forget women in general. And so that work, administrative, intellectually, physically, is just kind of swept under the rug, and you have men in the forefront. And not to say that men can't do great work, but women are often the backbone of the work that's happening. So making sure that we're pushing them to leadership roles so that the work that we're doing is feminist. Not just in word, but in action, in program, in thought, and in play, and joy, and celebration as well.
Scarlett Zambrano is from the Amazon region of Ecuador, which for 50 years has suffered from the pollution and crimes of the oil industry. She is a member of the UDAPT, Friends of the Earth Ecuador, which is the union of people affected by Texaco, now Chevron. This area has a high incidence of cancer, especially among women, due to the gas flares that burn near villages and communities.
Nuestra organización trabaja con una red de mujeres.
Our organization works with a network of women from 6 indigenous communities, which are the backbone of UDAPT. Quichua, Shua, Siona, Sekupai, Kofan, Warani, and also peasant women. The aim is to promote social work and the active and political participation of women in defending the rights of their territories and life. We also aim to seek solutions to environmental problems from women's perspective. One of the biggest and most important steps we need to take to achieve a just transition is for the indigenous peoples and nationalities to be the ones to build it, starting with prior, free and informed consultations, as well as environmental laws based on their own reality.
The approaches for thinking about the energy transition are many, and several themes emerge at the conference. One of them is the current financing of transition projects and loans as the main mechanism to increase the public debt of Global South countries where the environmental debt is not recognized. There were also exchanges on energy as a right, the eradication of energy poverty, public policies, and the struggle to reverse the processes of commodification and privatization of energy systems.
Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.